on the bottom of Hey Amid Beis. Three lines up. Rabba Bar Bachana Aisi Gita. Rabba Bar Bachana brought a get from Chutz Laaretz. Palga Ichtiv Kamei, half of it was written in his presence. Palga Lochtiv Kamei, half was not written in his presence. Osla Kamed Rabbi Elazar, it came to Rabbi Elazar. Amalei Rabbi Elazar said to him, Afilu lo kasav bo, ela shita achas lishma shuben atzarech. Even if all you saw written was the first line being written lishma, that's sufficient. You can assume the rest of it was written lishma, and you can declare b'fanai nichtav and b'fanai nechtam. So paskin Rabbi Elazar. Rav Ashi says, top of the Amud, Vavdalef, Afilu kan kumasa v'kan megilsa. Even the sound of the quill, the kulmas, and the parchment, the megilsa, on which the get was written. Two interpretations in Rashi. One interpretation is that he heard the sofer preparing the quill and the parchment. And he heard the sofer saying, as he did so, this is for the get of so-and-so. Now, granted, you don't need to prepare the quill and parchment lishma, but the fact that you heard him saying, I'm doing this for so-and-so's get, is evidence that he was going to write the get lishma. Or the second interpretation, says Rashi, is that you heard the actual scratching of the quill on the parchment as he was writing, and you heard him saying, I'm doing this for the so-and-so's get. You didn't see him writing it. You heard the writing occurring. You heard him say, this is l'shem so-and-so and l'shem gershin. That's enough evidence to say b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtav.
The sofer always asks the man, he says, you have to write it, so here you take a kinyan of it, so he may have heard that. You know, here it is.
So that, I think, I'm not sure if that's sufficient. In other words, that's just saying you have to own the writing utensils and the cloth. So here, take it, it's yours.
That's the beginning of it.
Right, that is the beginning of it. You're saying the same way that Rashi says that you could even hear the preparation of the cloth and the pen, so too that is also part of the preparation process. But the point is you have to hear in the preparation process the sofer saying, I'm doing this for so-and-so's divorce. Mm. Would that be the same? I know it's a good question. That's hard to know exactly how far we extend this. But the point being that as long as you have reason to assume that the get was written lishma, based on what you hear the sofer saying as he's preparing the writing utensils, that would apparently be sufficient for that declaration. Okay.
Are they giving him a lenient view?
Yeah, this definitely is a leniency, for sure. Definitely leniency, yeah, for sure. That you're allowing even the shliach who did not see the writing of the get to assume that the get was written lishma based on what he heard the sofer saying as he's preparing the writing utensils, or as he's writing it, you hear it, you don't see it, still good enough. Okay, moving on. Gemara says, Tanya Kavas Jarvashi, I'll bring a raya from Rabbi Jarvashi. We learn this follows. Hamevi get Mdinas Hayam. Someone brings a get from Chutz Laaretz, Afilu hu b'bayis, the sofer ba'aliyah. Even if the shliach had been on the lower floor, the sofer had been on the upper floor, or vice versa. Hu ba'aliyah, the sofer b'bayis, he had been on the upper floor, the sofer was on the bottom floor. So he didn't see the writing. There are different floors of the house. And the Braisa adds, Afilu nichnas v'yotze kol hayam kulo, even if he was walking in and out of the house throughout the day, kosher, the get is kosher. So the Gemara asks on the Braisa, Hu b'bayis v'sofer ba'aliyah. How could that be? The sofer is on the upper floor, the shliach on the lower floor, the get's kosher. Haloka chazile, he did not see the writing. So how could he declare b'fanei nechtav? El lavin must be, the case in the Braisa is as follows. Kigon, for example, deshama kan kulmasa v'kan megilsa. He heard the writing of the get. He hears the quill scratching on the parchment. And he hears the sofer saying, as he does so, I'm writing this for so-and-so's divorce. So you see from here this Braisa, proof to Ravashi, that would be sufficient evidence for the sofer to say, for the shliach to say, v'fanei nechtav, v'fanei nechtav. The Gemara questions the second part of the Braisa. Oh my, the Braisa said, Afilu nichnas v'yotze kol hayom kulo kosher. Even if the individual is going in and out of the house all day long, it's still kosher. The Gemara questions, man, who's walking in and out of the house? Ileba shliach. If it's the shliach walking in and out of the house where the sofer is writing, why would it be necessary to say that? Hashta hubabais the sofer ba'aliyah delo chasilei. If when they're on different floors of the house and the sofer does not see, and the shliach does not see the sofer writing again at all. Amar kasher, you still said it's kasher. So then if that's the case, nichnas v'yotze mibayah, if he's walking in and out of the room where the sofer is writing, so at least is seeing part of the writing, so that for sure should be fine. Why the need to mention it altogether if it's referring to the shliach walking in and out of the house? Zigmar says, Ela sofer. It must be the case in the brisa is that the sofer is walking in and out of the house throughout the process of the writing, and the get is still kosher. Zigmar asks, Pshita, well, why is that not obvious? He takes a bathroom break, he walks in and out of the room as he's writing the get, so the get's possible all of a sudden. Why does that make sense? And says the Gemara, here is the case of the Braisa. L'tzricha dimnafak l'shuka v'asa. Sofer is riding the get. He stops in the middle, walks out to the store, and comes back in afterwards. So here's the chiddush. Ma'adisem, you might have said, oh, he's walking out to the store. He's encountering and interacting with people. Inish achrina ashkechei l'amalei. Maybe on his trip out to the marketplace in the middle of the get riding, he finds somebody else who says, listen, I need to get divorced now. I'm desperate. I'm leaving on a business trip soon. Here's $1,000 to get me a get. So someone's going to come back and I'll decide, okay, forget this. I'm writing this get for so-and-so, this other person. So Kamashma the Chiddush is that, no, you don't have to be worried about that. The fact that you heard him or saw him start writing at Lashma, you don't have to be concerned that maybe he changed his mind in the middle because he went out and met somebody else in the process. That's the chiddush of the braisa. The bottom line is, we prove from this braisa that Rav Ash is correct, that even hearing the sofer saying, I'm writing this get l'shma, without seeing him writing it l'shma, is still sufficient grounds and evidence for the shliach to say, b'fanai nechta and b'fanai nechta. Next, two dots. Itmar, it was said. Bavel, what is the status of Bavel? Bavel being a region, of course, with many cities in it. Sur and Adah and others. What is the status as far as the writing of a get is concerned? Rav Amarav says, Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Bavel, unlike the rest of Chutz La'aretz, has the status of Eretz Yisrael insofar as Gittin written in Bavel. Tosfos explains a little more in detail that if one brings a get from one province in Bavel to another province in Bavel, we don't treat Bavel like Chutz La'aretz, that, oh, the shliach must say b'fanai nechtav. No, Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael. You could travel with a get from one Medina to another as long as it was in Bavel. No need to say b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtav. Whereas with Shmuel Amar Chutz La'aretz, Shmuel says Bavel is like Chutz La'aretz. You do need to say b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtav. Stigma asks, Lema Bakum Aflagi, maybe the machlokus is as follows. Timar Sabar, Bifi She'ein Bikin Lashma. Rav maybe holds like Rabba, that the reason to say B'fan HaNechtav is because we're worried the sofer did not write to get Lashma. B'hani Gemir, but in Bavel, they know the halacha, so we're not worried. So no need, according to Rav, to say B'fan HaNechtav. Whereas Umar Sabar Shmuel would hold, the reason for the Shliach's declaration in general is because Lafisha Ain Aiden Mitzurin Lakaimah, because you won't easily find witnesses to authenticate the signatures on the get. If that's the case, Vahani Nami Lo Shlichi. So therefore, when a get is written and brought from one Medina to another in Bavel, the same concern still applies of your challenges in finding Aiden to recognize the signatures. So maybe that's why Shmuel says you need to say B'fana Nechtav in Bavel. So the Gemara rejects that suggestion. And the Gemara says, V'tispa, if you think about it, HaRabba Isla DeRabba. Even Rabba agrees that finding Edim to recognize signatures is a problem. So therefore, Rav would not disregard the need for the Shliach's declaration above all simply because they know Lishma. He would also have to be concerned about the ability to find Edim. So why then would Rav say no need to say b'fanu nichtav? Ella, it must be to kuliyama b'inu l'kaimo. Everyone must agree. The concern is being able to find witnesses who can recognize the signatures of the edim on the get. So why would Rav say no need b'fanu nichtav? Gemara explains. Rav savar kevan de'ika mesivta. Rav was of the opinion that in Bavel there were yeshivos. Rashi explains there were permanent yeshivos. There was one in Sura, says Rashi, where Rav had his yeshiva. And there was one in Neharda, says Rashi, where Shmuel had his yeshiva. And how does that help us? So Rashi says because the Talmidim go back and forth from Sura to Neharda and vice versa. And even from other cities in Babel, they would come to those yeshivos to learn Torah, says Rashi. So because there were permanent yeshivos in Babel, that people were constantly traveling to and from, you had an easy time finding witnesses who would recognize signatures. You have a get that was written in Masa Machsia, if that's in Babel. So you find some student in the Beis Medrash of Neharda or Beis Medrash of Sura who came from that town, and you say, hey, I need someone who knows these signatures. Oh, yeah, that's my neighbor, I know him. So you find people who recognize the signatures on the get. So therefore, Rav says, no need for the Shliach to find a Nifta.
Does Rav say it's like Eretz, Babel is like Eretz Yisrael, that somebody goes from Babel to Eretz Yisrael?
Within Babel. Medina to Medina in Babel, yeah.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah. All right.
Whereas, the Gemara says, Shmuel says, you're going to rely on Yeshiva Bachim to recognize the signatures of people from a home, from a particular town in Babel. Signatures were usually written and signed when there was monetary documents to be shared, promissory notes, documents of sale. So this is all commerce related. So the Yeshiva Bracham are going to know what the signatures look like. The Gemara asks, Shmuel says, Misifta Bigger Sire Treaty. They're busy learning. They should be anyways. So they don't have time to engage in commercial documents and seeing the signatures of, oh, I've seen this guy's signature before. They're not going to recognize the signatures on a get. And therefore, Shmuel says, even in Babel, you need to say b'fanu nichtav and b'fanu nichtav. Okay? That's the focus, Rav and Shmuel, as it relates to travel with a get from one Medina to another in Babel. It's Manami who said as well, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Rabbi Abba said b'shem Rav Huna. Asinu atzmenu b'Babel, k'eretz Yisrael l'gitin. We declared ourselves in Babel to have the status of Eretz Yisrael insofar as get is concerned. In other words, no need to say b'fanai nichtav. And the assumption is that you'd be able to find witnesses in Babel to recognize signatures on a get from Babel. But when did this happen, says the Gemara? Michi asar Rav b'Babel. This happened when Rav came to Babel. Now, Rashi understands this to mean that when Rav came to Babel, he founded the yeshiva in Sura. Shmuel's yeshiva had already been in existence in Neharda. Once he had two yeshivas, okay, travel back and forth throughout Babel, you'll have witnesses who recognize signatures. That's Rashi's understanding of what the Gemara means here. From when Rav came to Babel, at that point, Babel became like Eretz Yisrael insofar as Gittin is concerned. Tosa says that can't be, because the Gemara is about to ask a question from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah indicates that Babel was not like Eretz Yisrael with regard to Gittin. So Tosa says, what kind of question is that? The Mishnah is written before Rav's time. The Gemara is only saying that Rav declared Babel to be like Eretz Yisrael when he came to Babel. So why is that a question for the Mishnah then? Elamai, says Rash, says Tosa. What the Gemara means is that when Rav came to Babel, he told us when he arrived that you guys might not have been aware of it, but Babel has long been like Eretz Yisrael way back to the times of Bayis Rishon, the end of Bayis Rishon, when Yechonya HaMelech was exiled to Babel by Nebuchadnezzar, and he brought with him the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara says, the Charash and the Masker. They came to Babel towards the end of Bayis Rishon period with all those Talmidei Chachamim. That made Babel like Eretz Yisrael with regard to Gittin. So Eretz Yisrael, so according to Tosis, Rab told the Jews in Babel that Babel has been like Eretz Yisrael for 500 years already, approximately. And Rav is post-Churban Bayis Sheni, and he's saying that Babel has been like Eretz Yisrael from the times of close to Churban Bayis Rishon. So we're talking about a long time here.
wasn't Rav right after the Mishnah?
Yes.
He was, in some places it says that he's almost like a Tana.
Right, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Hirunasi. Hirunasi was after Churban Bais Sheni. Churban Bais was during the times of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi was after that. But yes, so clearly Rav was living, let's say, if you assume that the Bais Rishon was 410 years, Bais Sheni was 420 years, 70 years in between approximately. So that's talking about 500 years or so from the time of Churban Bais Rishon to Churban Bais Sheni. And Rav is saying that Babel has been like Eretz Yisrael since Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yechaniah in the years leading up to Churban Bais Rishon. The Gemara says, Masif Abirma asks Akasha on this statement that Babel is like Eretz Yisrael. Our Mishnah says, Rabbi Huda Omer Mirekem LeMizrach VeRekem KeMizrach. Rekem and eastward is like Chutz Laretz. MeAshkelon LeDarim VeAshkelon KeDarim. Ashkelon southward is like Chutz Laretz. MeAkko KeTzafon VeAkko KeTzafon. Akko and north is like Chutz Laretz. So the Gemara asks, Babel is owned to Eretz Yisrael Kaima. Babel is north of Eretz Yisrael. The Chassid, Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Yirmiyah said, "Benevuah, Vayomer Hashem Alai, God told me, Mitzafon Tipasach Abra'ah, the evil will befall Israel from the north," meaning Churban Bais Rishon, courtesy of Bavel. So then, if Bavel is north, how could our Mishnah say, north of Akko is Chutz Laretz? According to Rav, Bavel, which is north, is like Eretz Yisrael. It's not further what the Mishnah says, that Meir Omer Akko ke Eretz Yisrael Gittin. But Meir argues in Akko, that Akko is like Eretz Yisrael with regard to Get. Well, yeah, that's Reb Meir saying that Akko, which is close to Eretz Yisrael, is like Eretz Yisrael with regard to Get. The bubble further north, that's not like Eretz Yisrael. So how could Rav say bubble is like Eretz Yisrael? So Reb Yirmiyah answers the question after asking it. When the Mishnah says north of Israel is like Chutz Laretz, it means labar mi bubble, north, but not bubble. Everything else that's north of Eretz Yisrael is considered like Chutz Laretz. Someone asks, Ad Heichan hi Bavel? Well, what is the parameters, the extent of the borders of Bavel? Amar Rav Papa, ki machlokas l'yuchsin, kach machlokas l'gittin. Well, the same machlokas we have with regard to the borders of Bavel insofar as Yuchsin is concerned. The Gemara tradition talks about the Jews in Bavel were very careful when they had marriages to ensure that there was no questionable lineage mixed into their marriage arrangements. So a Jew comes from Babel, you can be sure there's no mamzerus, there's no avdus, it's all squeaky clean lineage. And there's machlokas there with regard to, well, what is the extent of Babel in that regard? Same machlokas here with regard to Get. Rav Yosef Amar machlokas liyuchsin. No, the machlokas is dafka with regard to yuchsin. Aval legitin, diri akol. But as far as Get is concerned, everyone agrees. Ad arva tinyana degisha, the second swamp by the bridge, is the extent of where Babel extends to. Rav Chisda matzrach me'aktisfun lebei Ardashir. Rav Chisda used to say that if you brought a get from aktisfun to be Ardashir, you need to say b'fonai nichtav. Whereas be Ardashir aktisfun lots matzrach. If you go from be Ardashir to aktisfun, you don't need to say b'fonai nichtav. So why should that be so? Le'miksav v'shem b'kin l'shma is the reason because he holds the concern is one of Lishma, the Hani Gemiri, and therefore in Be'ar Deshir they knew Lishma, but in Aktisfun they did not. Just if you think about it, but Rabbi said to Rabbi. But Rabbi also agrees the concern is being able to find witnesses. So if it's a long enough distance in one direction, it's the same distance in another direction. And if Adam aren't traveling back and forth, so then you should always need to say B'fan Nechtav when you go from one town to the next. So why is it only one directional? You need B'fan Nechtav, other direction not. Ela must be the Kuliyama, everyone agrees, but in the Kaimo. Everyone agrees, the concern is, we need to find Adam who recognize the signatures on the get. Tahani, Kevan de'asli l'shuka l'hasam. But these residents of Be'ar Deshir, who would travel to the marketplace in Aktisfun, so Hanach Yadi Bechasimos Yada Dahani. The residents of Aktisfun would recognize the signatures of those who came from Ardashir. Because in the process of engaging in commerce, they would write IOUs, they would write bills of sale. There were documents written and signed. So the residents of Aktisvan, who were living where the marketplace was, would recognize the signatures of the residents of Beit Ardashir, and therefore when a get came from Beit Ardashir to Aktisvan, you would find local residents in Aktisvan who would recognize the signatures on the get. Oh yeah, that's the guy from Beit Ardashir who sold me something last week and wrote me a shtar mechira. Well, that's the guy from Beit Ardashir who I lent money to and he wrote me a shtar hava. So the residents of Aktisvan would recognize signatures of the customers who came from Ardashir. However, the Gemara says, "V'hani b'dahanaf liyodi," but the residents of Ardashir who had traveled to Aktisvan did not recognize the signatures of the residents of Aktisvan. Why not? Because, like Taimo, why not? Bishukaya treaty. They're too busy buying. They're there for a limited time. They gotta get their deals done and out. So they're too busy to notice the signatures of people who lived in that town of Aktisvan. Next.
And when we say signatures, there was a time when people used to use a ring to, you know, to seal. So that would be more visible. But that would be more visible. I recognize
that. True, that wouldn't help in terms of recognizing signatures on a get. If they're signing on a get with their name,
they have to actually be signing on the get.
Right.
It's hard to do.
Now, what's interesting here is that Tosis writes that the why don't we say in the yeshivas before? Shmuel said that the residents, that the talmidim of the yeshiva is too busy learning. Well, here you're telling me that the residents of Ardashir who traveled to Aktisvan were too busy engaging in commerce. Yet the residents of Aktisvan recognized their signatures. So Tos asks, well, earlier on, when we spoke of the talmidim of the yeshivas being too busy learning to take note of signatures on documents, well, why don't we say that the residents of those towns where they came to learn recognize their signatures? Think about the comparison. Here we're saying the residents of town A, Ardashir, went to town B, Aktisvan. Town A residents were too busy in copying deals to take note of the signatures of the residents of their host city. But yet the residents of the host city recognized their signatures. So then before we said, Shmuel says, Tamidim going to yeshiva and Subra and Hadar too busy to take note of signatures. Well, what the residents of the host city recognize the signature of the Talmidim? Right? Same idea as here. That's Tosas' question. Tosas is difference. The guys engaging in commerce might be too busy to note the signatures of the residents of the town, but they themselves are still signing documents, and therefore the residents of the town recognize their signatures. But the guys in yeshiva were so busy learning, they couldn't even sign documents. Even that they couldn't do. And it's not because, as my son tells me, that in yeshivas nowadays they don't teach you how to sign in script. It's because they're too busy learning that they just didn't have time to learn altogether.
And they had to do it.
So they didn't have time to sign altogether. Right? Too busy learning, they didn't have time to sign altogether.
And they had to do it by pair.
Right. Tosa says, Ein lehem penai lachton klal. They're so busy learning, they didn't have time to sign their names. Imagine that. So busy learning, no time to sign their names. Today we're learning, we go for coffee breaks, we go, you know, by phone calls, we schmooze, we take a break. Everyone's got to take breaks every so often. So it says they're so busy learning they didn't have time to sign at all. Wow. Okay. It's good, Musser.
And they probably didn't have money to do commerce anyway.
That's right, awesome.
Much for signatures.
Okay, moving on. Rabbi Bar Avuah matzach me'arsa la'arsa. Rabbi Bar Avuah said, you must say b'fanei nechtav, even when you cross the Rosh Hashanah street from one row of houses to the other row of houses, a get written on that side, brought to this side, you got to say it. Sheshes said, you bring a get written in one group of three houses to another group of three houses, say b'fanei nechtav. And Rava matzach ba'os ha'shkuna, Rava even in the same group of houses, one house to the next, a get written here, brought there, say b'fanei nechtav. So I'm asking, how could that be? V'harava hu da'amal fish ein edem esun l'kaimo. Rava says the concern is finding witnesses who recognize signatures. You're going from house to house. You're not going to find a guy who recognizes his neighbor's signature. Why the need for b'fanei nechtav? Says the Gemara, shani b'nei mechuza denaydi. in Mechuza, where Ravin lived, people were always traveling. Always traveling. Business trips. They were never home. So you wouldn't recognize signatures because the people who know the signatures aren't home. So therefore, Rava said, you know what? Just always say that you saw the get written, period. Rav Chanan Mishtar, Rav Chanan was saying over as follows. Rav Kahana brought a get. And I don't know which direction he went. Surah to Nahadah, vice versa. Either way, Asla came to Rav, he came to Rav. Amalei said, Tzrich l'meimar, fanonechta, or lo tzrichna. I need to say I saw it written or not. Amalei, so Rav said, lo tzrichas, no need, this is Babel. Babel's like Eretz Yisrael. However, v'yav the sahanis, but if you say it anyways, it will be effective. What does that mean? Might you have the sahanis? It means, says the Gemara, di osi ba'al ma'arer, that if the husband were to subsequently come and claim the get is possible, since you already said before nechtav, we would disregard the Baal's taina. Kitaina, and I'll prove now from Rabbi Isa that even if you don't need to say before nechtav, if you do say it, it works. Maisa bada mechad shehevi get lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. A person brought a get to Rabbi Shmuel. Amalot tzarech ani lomar before nechtav ani tzarech. Do I need to say it or not? Amalot bini mehechanata. Where are you from, my son? Amalot Rabbi mekfar sisoy ani. I come from kfar sisoy. Shmuel said, "Sar chatzalam afanechta, we should say it. Shelo tizakik la'edim, so that you shouldn't subsequently need edim to prove the validity of the edim on the get." Lachashiyatsa. After this fellow left, nichnas afan Rebeloi. Rebeloi walked in. Amalo Rebbe, he said, "Rebbe, ba'lok kfaras isoy muvlas b'tchum eretz Yisrael. Kfaras isoy is surrounded on three sides by eretz Yisrael." Ukrova litzipari yosu me'ako. It's even closer to Tzipori than Akko is. Utanan, Mishnah says, Meir Omer, Akko k'Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Reb Meir says that even Akko is like Eretz Yisrael. No need to step upon an echtav. Vafilu rabbanon l'pligla de Meir, and even the rabbanon will argue, that's only because Elba Akko d'mracha, only because Akko is far away. Aba k'far sar t'mikrava, the k'far sar is closer to, let's say, main cities in Eretz Yisrael than Akko is. Lo, so even Chum would agree that Kfar Sisoy, there's no need to say Bafana Nechtav and Bafana Nechtav. So why did you require it, Rabbi Shmuel? Amalo, so he answered, Shtok, Bidishna, Shisok, remain silent, son, silence. Hello, Biyasa, Hedavar, Beheter, Yatsa. Once I've told him, say Bafana Nechtav, and they get his kosher, it's done. So you see here that although he didn't have to say it, but if he does say it, it's effective. That's the proof we're bringing from Rabbi Shmuel here. So the Gemara asks, what was Rabbi Loi's question altogether? Shmuel only said, say before the nechtab, so that you shouldn't need Edom subsequently. He expressly said, I want you to say it as a safety precaution, that you shouldn't need Edom to be machshir the get, should the Baal subsequently come and claim the get is possible. So the Gemara answers, you're right. The Gemara says, and Hanami, that is true. And lo saimua kame. They just never really told Rabbi Loi that Rishmal had said that last phrase. Okay, Shalach Le, Rav Yasser, Rav Chista. Rav Yasser sent a message to Rav Chista. Gitzin Habon Misham Lekan. A get that comes from Babel Teretz Yisrael, Ein, Tzarech Lomar, Fananechtav, Ufananechtav. No need to say Ufananechtav. Meaning, on Amud Aleph, we said Babel is like Eretz Yisrael with regard to within Babel. Now we're saying Babel is like Eretz Yisrael with regard to from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Someone says, Leimah Kasavra, Vishayim Bikin Lishma, Vahana Gemiri. Is that because Rav Yosef says we're worried about Lishma, and in Babel they know Lishma? Well, that can't be because it's Isra, but Rabbi Slidarava. Rabbi agrees that there's always a concern of finding Aiden, and Babel Teretz Yisrael is pretty long distance, so why is he not worried about finding Aiden? Elo de Kulei Amabin and Lekaimo. You're right, everyone holds the problem is finding Aiden. Nonetheless, the Kavan, the Iko, Rabim, the Sulki, the Nachsi, since many people go from Babel Teretz Yisrael and back again, which the Kuf Mechasam Sofer means B'nei Yeshiva, going to learn, coming back. Mishkach Shchichi, it's common to find people traveling. Right? It's like, you know, nowadays, you know, a I gotta find someone going to Eretz Yisrael from JFK so I could ship an emergency shipment of fruit roll-ups to my kids in Israel because they're all out there. So, okay, you'll find that, you know, there's always people going back and forth. Always people going back and forth. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Man Lemel and Rav Yosef Bar Samchu, who says Rav Yosef is a reliable person when it comes to halacha? He's saying, no need to save a fund of nichtav when you bring a get from Bava to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, there's a lot at stake here. If it gets puzzled, it's serious business. So you're going to be making like about the Yasser that, oh, don't worry about it. A get came from Babel Teretz Yisrael, no need to sit in front of Nechtab. Are you really comfortable relying on him in this regard? Furthermore, says the Gemara, as if to question Rabbi Yasser's reliability in matters of halacha, Rabbi Yosef quotes the following story. Ha'iyu deshalach le'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yasser was the one who sent a letter to Rabbi Yehuda, in which he said like this, B'nei Adam ha'olin misham l'kan. Those Jews who come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he was critical of them. Why? Hein kaimu ba'atzman. They are an illustration of the pasuk in Yoel, Vayitnu hayeled bezona vayalda machru bayayin v'yishtu. They exchanged their son for food and their daughter for wine, and they drank. Now Rashi explains that means that because they left their wives and families alone in Babel for an extended period of time, they couldn't have more children. They weren't there. So it's as if they took the responsibility of having children lightly, as if they were giving their kids away for food and drink. Or as Tosa says, because they left for so long, their wives and their children had to make a parnasa in their absence. The kids had to go to work. So they had to work for food, work for drink. So he was critical, Rav Yosef, of this practice. And in doing so, he quoted this pasuk. And here's the problem. V'kasav le'belos yertut. When he wrote the pasuk, he didn't etch lines into the parchment before writing the pasuk. And after all, Amar Yitzchak, Shtayim Kosvin, Shalosh Ein Kosvin, Yitzchak says you can write two words of a pasuk without etching a line in first, but not three. The Masis Tana, in the Brayse, it says Shalosh Kosvin, Arba Ein Kosvin. You can write three words from a pasuk without Sirtut, but not four. Sirtut again, meaning like you have in Sefer Torah, the lines that are etched into the parchment before you write, so that you write straight lines. So when it comes to quoting any pasuk from Tanakh, the Gemara is saying, you can't write a pasuk, you can't write three words or four words from a pasuk without first etching a line into the paper to make sure you write the pasuk straight. And Rav Yosef quoted this pasuk from Sefer Treyasar and did not do sirtur. He did not etch lines into the parchment. So clearly he was unfamiliar with certain halachos. So how could you trust him to Paskin, a Shiloh, and Hilchas Gittin, that a get that comes from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, no need to sebefan a nechtav? So I'm like, Abai, Abai responds to Yosef, Atu kol b'liyada hadav Yitzchak lav gav rabahu? Just because he did not know the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, the din of Sirtu, he's not considered a great man as far as Torah is concerned? Bishlam milsa de talya besvara, if he made a mistake in something which was dependent upon rational reasoning, l'chai, I understand that. If his thinking is flawed, his method of coming to halacha conclusions is flawed, then you can't rely on his piskei halacha. But hagemarahi, but this is not a method of thinking. This is a mesorah. This is a halacha. I mean, either you heard it, or you didn't hear it. You knew it, you didn't. Gemara lo shmile, he never heard it yet. It's not his fault. He was never told this halacha, so you can't fault him for being short of a gavur rab if he didn't know the halacha. But furthermore, to prove Abaye says Rav Yosef is a person worth relying on when it comes to matters of halacha. Rabbi Yosef, who to ask him Mari al Yadei. Rabbi Yosef was the one who his creator, God, Kaviyachal, agreed to his interpretation of that which is not explicit in the Pasuk. This is it. Pasuk says and shoved him in the discussion of the Pelegesh Begiva, Batizne Olav Pilaksho. This woman, a Pelegesh, she went afoul of her husband's favor. She fell out of favor with her husband. Why? Rabbi Yosef Omar Zvuv Matzalah. Rabbi Yosef said, it was a fly that she served him in the bowl. Rianason Omar, Nia Matzalah. Rianason says that her husband found that she had not removed some hair from the Makom Ha'erva. Va'ashka Rabbi Yosef Elio. So Rabbi Yosef found Elio Navi. Amalei, he says to him, Maiko Avad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's God doing now? Amalei Osik Lepilekish Begiva. He's learning the story of Flegesh Begiva, so to speak. So my karma, Rabbi Yasser asks Eliyahu, what was he saying? Amalei, so Eliyahu said to Rabbi Yasser, he says like this, God is saying, Rabbi Yasser b'ni kacha omer, Rabbi Yasser my son interprets the story this way, and Yonasan b'ni kacha omer, and Yonasan my son interprets the story this way. Amalei, so Rabbi Yasser says, chas v'shalom, how could that be? U'miika speka kame shmaya, well God doesn't know what the story was. Amalei, so Eliyahu said, no, Elu v'elu divrei lekem chayim, both are true. Both are true. Zvuv matzav alo hikbit. First, this husband found a fly in the bowl and wasn't upset or angry. Nima matzav hikbit. Then, strike two. He saw that she hadn't fully removed hair from the makom ha'erba. Then he was angry. Omrav's Yehudavita says, Zvuv b'kar v'nima ba'osa makom. As we were saying, the fly was in the bowl of soup that she was serving him. And the hair was in the makom ha'erba. And the difference is as follows. Zvuv miyasusa. A fly in my soup. Okay, it's repulsive, but I'll get over it. Nima sakanta. But a hair of a makom ha'erba, the Gemara assumes that it was a potential sakana, b'shas bia, for the husband. And that's why he was angry about that. Yigadam yislam say no. Idiv idiv b'ka'ara. Both the fly and the hair were in the soup. Zvuv onsa. The fly is not at fault. The little guy came in for a crash landing, which he's supposed to do. Nima pshusa, but the hair, that's her neglect. That's her fault. That's why he was angry about the hair that fell into the soup, but not the fly. Okay, so this says Abai proves that Rav Yosef was a man of stature in Halacha, and therefore you can rely upon his psak that a get that was written in Babel and brought to Eretz Yisrael does not need Befanai Nechtav and Befanai Nechtav. And Tosis just points out that this machlokes, was it a hair, was it a zvuv, based on the pasuk vatizne alav pilaksho, the word vatizne can be understood lashon znus, lashon erva, lashon bia, or it can be lashon of mazon, of food. So that's why they had this machlokes. Was it a fly in the food? Was it a hair in the makam erva? Okay. Moving on. The Gemara now, along the lines of that story, comments. Amar Rav Chista. Chista says, "Le'olam al yatil adam eimei yiseir b'sof peso." A person must never demonstrate or impose excessive fear and intimidation upon members of his household. Shorei plagis begiva hitul aleha baila eimei yiseir. That's what happened here. Her husband, she was terrified of her husband. She was mamish terrified of her husband. And that's why she fled in fear when he got angry at her. And ultimately, she fled, was found and raped by numerous members of Shefer Binyamin, led to civil war, because Shefer Binyamin refused to hand over the criminals, and tens of thousands were killed. The Pilak Hamer Vavos Miyisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Amrav, Shem Rav, Kol Amatel Emes Ebesoch Beso. Anyone who does impose excessive fear in his home, so uba l'day shalosh averos. It will lead him to three averos. Number one, gilui rayos, which Rashi says means if she has to go mikvah and it's freezing cold outside in the winter and the river is not a pleasant place to dip in the freezing winter, and she's afraid to go because it's too cold. But she's afraid to tell him she didn't go because she's terrified of the guy. So she lies and says she went to the mikvah. So they'll be in violation of the Sunita, which Rashi understands is what the Gemara first one speaks of gilui rayos here. Number two, shvichas damim, murder. She'll run away in fear, and either someone will kill her, or she'll injure herself, die perhaps in an accident, fleeing in the middle of the dark of the night. And finally, v'chilas Shabbos, v'litzah chilas Shabbos, if out of fear of confronting him and admitting that she didn't have enough food cooked in time for Shabbos, she might do added cooking after Shabbos starts. So that might therefore lead to Chil Shabbos, all a result of the excessive fear that he imposed in his household. So one should not do that, says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll get here tomorrow for Ezras Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.